Awesome. Thank you, music team, for leading us this morning. I wanted to say just officially and publicly that congratulations to Gary, Pastor Gary. We can now officially call him Dr. Gary. And I'll let you know a little secret that now we say in the office, I officially work with Dr. Gary and Mr. Hyde. Okay? Just saying. All right. Hey, this morning, it's so good to have a few more people here in the sanctuary with me, a few more joining us in the youth room, and then, of course, there are many of you that are joining us in the in your living room or wherever you are watching live online. So welcome here. I want to tell you, I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. It's the first in a number of different messages that I want to talk about that kind of work off of the Freedom in Christ material that we've been teaching over the last couple years here. And we're going to be looking at the life of Paul. I love the man Paul and his character. Paul, as many of you know, wrote half of the New Testament, 13 of the 26 books are credited to him as writing. And what I love about Paul is just his incredible passion for the Lord, his passion for teaching and preaching the Word of God. And if anyone lived a life of freedom in their relationship with Christ, it was Paul. But it wasn't that Paul had an easy life. In fact, if you look at his life and you look at his readings, look at his teachings, what happened in Paul's life was he started out and he did a lot of, he was persecute the Christians. He was very antagonistic towards the church. And then he had a life-transforming experience. And from that life-transforming experience, he began to preach the Word of God. And because of that, he faced a lot of persecution himself. He faced a lot of beatings. He was thrown in prison for his passion about talking about the gospel, talking about Jesus Christ. And so he didn't have an easy life. But on top of that, I love it that Paul is pretty transparent. He didn't pretend to have it all together. And in fact, we read his words that he says, "The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing." And then he says, "I end up doing these things. Who can help me? Who can deliver me from this body of death?" And so what we learn from Paul is that Paul battled a lot of things in his own mind. He battled these things and he fought and he won and he took ground. And over time, even as life was kind of stacked against him when he was thrown into the Roman prison, he could say things and he could write things that we read today that we can be encouraged by, that we can be challenged by, that we can be spurred on in our walk with Christ as well. And we learn from Paul, as he learned, how to capture his thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about. For those of you that have walked through the Freedom in Christ sessions, a lot of this will be familiar to you. For those of you that have just started working through sessions this last week, this will be familiar a little bit from what we talked about on Tuesday, but it will be familiar as we continue to walk through this in the weeks to come. And so I hope that, you'll be encouraged, you'll be spurred on in your walk with the Lord. And then for those of you who maybe haven't walked through those sessions, perhaps you'll get a little bit of a glimpse as to what the Freedom of Christ sessions are about over the next few times that I preach. But also maybe it will be an encouragement to you next time we offer those sessions to say, hey, maybe I want to dig into that a little bit more. And so we'd welcome you to consider that and to sign up next time. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning there in verse 3. And reading till the end of verse 5, Paul said, penned these words, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we," and when he talks about we, he's talking about believers in Jesus Christ. He says, "The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The Greek word that's translated power is the word dunamis. You've probably heard that before as you've been sitting in our services over the years. We get our word dynamite from the word dunamis. It's that explosive, that miraculous power of God. The weapons that we, believers in Jesus Christ, fight with have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds in our life. Okay, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a word that means a fortified prison. When you're in a stronghold, it means that you're a prisoner in this fortified prison. You're a prisoner locked in by deception, and you've believed the lies, and these lies that you've believed, intentionally or unintentionally, have put you in this prison, in this stronghold. What we learn about our enemy, our spiritual enemy, the devil, is that his temptations or his strategies fall into three categories. They fall into temptations, accusations, and deception. Okay. If I was to do a survey here in this room and even at home, and I would ask by a show of hands, and you don't have to raise your hands at this time, but if I was to ask you to by a show of hands, how many of you have experienced some form of temptation in the last week or so? I would venture to say that most of us would raise our hands, right? We recognize when temptation comes our way in our life, when we're tempted to do wrong. And so I would venture to say that a majority of us, if we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with one another, we would raise our hands and say, yeah, I have. If I was to ask again by a show of hands, how many of you have faced some accusations this week? I would again venture to say that most of us would probably raise our hands to that. By accusation, perhaps it would come in the form like this. I'm stupid, I'm hopeless, or it would say you're stupid, you're hopeless, no one cares about you, things are never going to change for you, God doesn't love you, and these are just a couple things. Maybe the accusations come, oh, how could I be so foolish, I'm all alone here, and these are accusations that are thrown our way, right? When we put it that way, we'd say, yeah, I can relate to that. That's happened to me in the last week or so. Every one of us has, because we have a spiritual enemy, Scripture says, that accuses us day and night. Okay. Temptation, accusation, deception. If I asked you the question, how many of you have been deceived in the last week? Probably a fewer of us would raise our hands. Why? Because that's exactly the nature and the characteristic of deception. When we're tempted, we know it. When there's accusations thrown at us, we know it. But the very nature, the very characteristic, the very definition of deception is we're not aware when it happens. Okay? We don't know it. That's what deception is. And deception is Satan's primary tactic in our life. That's his primary strategy in trying to get us discouraged in our life. What does our spiritual enemy do? Our spiritual enemy tries to shape our thinking by giving us one lie at a time. And over time, we build on that lie and build on that lie and build on that lie before all of a sudden there's this huge mound of lies that we're living under. Maybe you've heard it this way. How does our enemy lie to us? He says, you can't trust people. Don't let them know the real you. God doesn't really love you. God doesn't care about you. Don't bother praying because it's not making any difference anyway. God can't forgive you. God won't forgive you. You're never going to get over that struggle. You're never going to get over that fear. Your life is always going to be bad. You're always going to feel overwhelmed. You're always going to feel anxious about things in your life. You're always going to be hurting. Your situation will never change. You don't matter. Your life is meaningless. You're hopeless. Those are the lies that the enemy throws at us all the time. Right? And Paul says to us in verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay? Anything that is not from God, any proud obstacle that keeps us from knowing God, Paul says, get rid of it. Okay, we crush it, we get rid of it, we destroy everything that's not in line with God's truth. And so here's what we do, Paul says. Paul says, and so we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. We capture every single thought that comes to our mind every single thought that's in opposition to God's truth, and we make our thoughts obedient to Christ. Why does this matter? Teens, young adults, parents, seniors, why does this matter? Because what you believe will direct your behavior. Okay? What you believe will direct your behavior. The life you live is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. Get that? The life you live is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you believe that you're a victim, you're always suffering at the hand of some outside circumstance, then you will live life as a victim. If you're always looking at the problems and dwelling on the problems, then the problems in your life will overwhelm you. Okay. What do we know about our thoughts? We know that for almost all of us, in almost every situation, the battle, life's battles, are won or lost in the mind. I like to golf, and I love it when I golf with a partner or whatever, and he gets to an island green. And you know what I hear often? I better put away my good ball and get a garbage ball. Right? There's a few golfers in this room, and they're smiling. You want to put away the good golf ball because you don't want to lose it. What are you thinking about? So I like to ask, are you planning to hit the water? Okay? If you're planning to hit the water, I can guess 90% of the time where you're going to hit the ball. Right? Funny when it comes to golf. But that's in essence what we often do in life too. Okay? And it's far more serious when it comes to life. Right? Because in our life we have the battle that goes on between God's truth and the enemy's lies that he throws at us. What I want us to think about, what I want us to encourage you with this morning is to think about what you think about. And find out from God what his truth says, what his word says, so that you can combat against the lies of the enemy. I mean, think about your thoughts over the last week or so. If we put up a scale here and zero was in the middle, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it was good over here, and the other way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it was bad over here. Think about your thoughts in the last week. On the one side, have your thoughts been all about worry? Or have your thoughts been peaceful thoughts? Okay. Have you been dwelling on the worry? Have you been thinking about COVID and worried about the protests, and you've been thinking about what people are thinking about your children or what they're thinking about you? Have you been thinking and worried about your future? You've been worried about your money. You've been worried about your job. You've been worried about your health. And you're wondering how long Garth is going to preach for this morning. And so you're living life in worry. Or does your mind go to the place of peace? Where does your mind tend to go? Towards the worry or towards the peace in your life? What about this one? What about this next one? Towards negative thoughts over here or towards positive thoughts over here? Which one are you? Are you generally negative? Are you critical about people? Are you quick to point out people's flaws in your life? Are you quick to point out everything that's going wrong in this world? Are you quick to find fault with everybody else? Are you generally discontent or unhappy about things going on in your life? You feel like life is always difficult and it's only going to get worse, and glass is always half empty. And it's, oh, I only have bad luck. And if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. There's a nice country song. Or does your mind go to what's positive, what is good? You believe the best about people. Your life is good, and you believe in the goodness of God. You believe that God is walking with you, that he is for you, he is with you. He's working in all things. Okay. Are you generally to the negative or to the positive? What about the contrast between what is temporary and what is eternal? Oh, you know, we think about temporary things, right? About the quick fix to everything. What benefits me, what I can get, what I have, what I want. And it's all about me, me, me. It's all about right now. Or are you more eternal minded? And you're wondering about the kingdom of God. How does this benefit the kingdom of God? How can I be a blessing to others? How can I be a blessing to my heavenly King, my heavenly Father? Think about your thoughts over the last week. Where do you go? Here or over here. Because your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so it begs the question, do you like where your thoughts are leading you? Because you cannot have a positive life if you have a negative mindset. It doesn't work that way. You can't have a positive life, you can't have a life that's honoring God when you're developing or you're working on the negative mindset all the time. And so this is so important, this battle over our minds. Every battle we face, maybe in your marriage, where are you thinking in regards to your marriage? Where are you thinking in your financial situation, here or here? Where are you thinking about your workplace? Is it negative or is it positive? What about your friendships? Are they negative or are they positive? What about the church that you're part of? Is it negative viewpoint or is it positive viewpoint? Because your thoughts, your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What I want to give us this morning is two things to think about. I'm just giving you a little bit of a snapshot about the freedom in Christ. If you're taking notes this morning, what I want you to do is to write down this, to identify the strongholds in your life. Okay. What's a stronghold? We said a lie that you've believed and it's held you prisoner. What is that lie? What is that deception in your life? What is the enemy using in your life to keep you from living the life that God wants for you? Okay. Here are some things. Here are some ways that we can be deceived by the world. And this, again, comes from the Freedom in Christ material. Here are some ways that we can be deceived by the world. Believing that having an abundance of money and possessions will make me happy. Believing that eating food, drinking alcohol, and using drugs can relieve my stress and make me happy. Believing that having an attractive body or a phony personality or an image will meet my needs of acceptance and significance. Believing that gratifying sexual lust will bring lasting satisfaction without the negative consequences. Believing that I can sin and suffer no negative consequences. Believing that I need more than Jesus to meet my needs of acceptance, security, and significance. Believing that I can do whatever I want regardless of others and still feel free. Believing that I can associate with bad company and not be corrupted. Believing that I can read, see, or listen to anything and not be corrupted. Believing that there are no earthly consequences for my sin. Believing that I can gain or I must gain the approval of certain people in order to feel happy. Believing that I must measure up to certain religious standards in order for God to accept me. Believing that there are many paths to God and Jesus is only one of the many ways. Believing that I must live up to worldly standards in order to feel good about myself. Those are just some of the ways that we can be deceived by the world's messages thrown at us. Ah, but here's some ways that we can deceive ourselves. Hearing God's word, but not doing what it says. Saying that I have no sin. Thinking that I am something or someone that I'm really not. Thinking that I'm wise in this worldly age. Thinking that I can be truly religious and not control what I say. Thinking that God is the source of my problems. Or thinking that I can live successfully without the help of anyone else. Recognize any of those strongholds in your life? So important, because every single thought we have creates a pathway in our life. It creates a pathway in our brain. And what happens, the more we think a thought, okay, the more we're creating what scientists call a neural pathway in our brain. Okay? And so your brain creates this pathway, kind of like if I drive a truck across a muddy field. It will create a rut. It will create a groove in the field. And if I drive that same way over and over again every day and for days after days after days, the ruts become deeper, the grooves become deeper and more noticeable. And eventually, those ruts become so established in the ground that I don't even have to steer anymore because that's my default. And the truck stays in that groove. Your thoughts, my thoughts. The more we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. and we think that thought, that negative thought, enough times, it becomes the negative or the default thought in our life. For some of you, you've been told a lie or you've caught a lie from a very young age that you're not loved, that you're not accepted, that you don't belong, that you never have, that you never will. And over and over and over again, that thought, that message has been communicated in your life. And there was a negative pathway that was created where it's easier to think that you're never going to be accepted. And there's a negative neural pathway that was created in your mind, a deep rut that formed in your life based upon lies. The good news is that we can rewire our minds. We can change the pathway from being a negative pathway to a positive pathway. But we have to say, wait a minute. No, the pathway I'm going down is a negative one. It's not a God-honoring one. And so I'm going to stop that, and I'm going to focus on, and I'm going to put truth into my heart. I'm going to believe truth, even though there are times when I don't feel it. But I'm going to choose to believe it because it's God's truth. This is what God says about me. And so I'm going to demolish the lies that have been spoken to me. I'm going to demolish the lies that I have believed. And I'm going to choose to believe the truth that God says about me. And it's going to change the trajectory of your life. Right? We're going to replace the lies. And we're going to choose to believe the truth. What does Scripture say about this? It's so very, very clear in Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes this. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, right? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. I could say, don't imitate, don't follow, don't obey, don't adapt, don't follow the world's way of thinking. Don't walk in the pattern of the world's way. Don't live like the world, but instead, Paul says, be transformed, be changed. How? Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. God's word says renewing of your mind. Science would say rewiring your brain. And here's what we do. We identify the strongholds in our life, the lies that have held us prisoner, and we demolish them, and we focus on God's truth. Why is this important? Why is this important? Maybe you're thinking here this morning, I'm not lovable. I'm not worth it. It's too much effort. I'll never be good enough. I never deserve anything good in my life. I'm never going to have enough. My situation will never change. Whatever that lie is, we identify it because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. Okay. And so we define that stronghold, that lie that we have believed. We identify that has kept us imprisoned. And Paul says this, okay. We're going to demolish that stronghold. We're going to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold in our life. Okay. We're going to put God's word, his truth, into our lives. We're going to speak over it. Okay, we're going to dwell on it. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, again, let me read those words. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, okay, just the opposite, Paul says. On the contrary, just the opposite. Our weapons, okay, have divine power. They have miraculous, explosive power of God to demolish those strongholds. Okay, all those lies of the enemy. What do? We demolish those arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I love that word captive in this verse. It means to arrest, to seize with the sword or with a spear. And it brings to mind Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6, where he talks about the armor of God. He says, put on the armor of God. That's how we battle against the forces of darkness, against the lies of this world. And every single piece of armor that Paul labels there is a defensive piece, except for one. Okay? He talks about the helmet is defensive, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes prepared for the gospel with the readiness of peace. Those are defensive armor pieces. But there's one that is the offensive weapon. Okay? And that's the sword of the Spirit, okay, which is the Word of God. We speak the Word of God into our situation. We speak the Word of God to ourselves and to our friends and to our family members. We speak the Word of God when the lies come our way. We speak the Word of God into our lives. For the believer in Jesus Christ, listen to who you are, not because I said it or say it, but because God says it. Listen to this. I want to pronounce this over you who call yourselves believers in Jesus Christ, because this is the promise. This is God's word to you. This is truth. And so we're going to address the strongholds in our life, and we're going to put the truth in our hearts and into our minds. Believer in Jesus Christ, you are accepted. Renounce the lie that you're rejected, unloved, or shameful, because in Christ you are accepted. Because God says this, you are God's child. You are Christ's friend. You have been justified. You have been united with the Lord and are one spirit with him. You have been bought with a price. You belong to God. You are a member of Christ's body. You are a saint, a holy one. You have been adopted as God's child. You have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You have been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. You are complete in Christ. Not only are you accepted, but you are secure, because this is what God says about you. But first, hold on. We renounce the lie that I'm guilty, that you're unprotected, that you're alone, or that you're abandoned, because in Christ you are secure, because God says you are free from condemnation. You are assured that all things work together for good, that you are free from any condemning charges against you. You cannot be separated from the love of God. You have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You can be confident that the good work God has begun in you will be perfected. You are a citizen of heaven. You are hidden with Christ in God. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. You can find grace and mercy in your time of need. You are born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. Believer in Jesus Christ, you are significant. Renounce the lie that you are worthless, inadequate, and helpless or hopeless, because in Christ, God says this about you, that you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You are a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of his life. You have been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. You are a personal, spirit-empowered witness of Christ. You are God's temple. You are a minister of reconciliation for God. You are a fellow worker with God. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You are God's workmanship created for good works. You may approach God with freedom and with confidence. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are not the great I am, but by the grace of God, you are who you are. Amen? That's who you are, believer in Jesus Christ. That's why God says, that's what God says. Therefore, believer in Jesus Christ, believe it. Choose to believe it, because that's God's truth, and embrace it in your life, because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus doesn't want you locked in a prison. Okay? He has unlocked the door. Do not stay locked in the prison of wrongful thoughts, of believing the lies of the enemy, because Jesus Christ has opened the door for you. The truth has set you free. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your incredible love. Father, I pray for those who struggle with thoughts of fear and anxiety, of negative thinking, of worry, of bitterness, and a lack of forgiveness, that they, together with the help of your Holy Spirit, would bring those thoughts under the truth of your word, that they would identify the strongholds, that we would identify the strongholds in our life that are not from you, but that we would choose to walk in your truth. Remind us over and over again. Because this takes days, it takes weeks, it takes months, it takes years to create new pathways of thinking. Help us not to give up, but to help us to live a life of freedom, a life that is honoring to you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.